President Obama laid a wreath at Ground Zero in New York today to honor the men and women who died on 9/11. The White House made every effort to make this a somber, quiet visit, and while a crowd near the site of the World Trade Center waved flags and some signs read, Obama 1, Osama 0, it was a very different scene last Sunday night after the president's dramatic announcement when raucous crowds of mostly young people gathered in downtown New York and outside the White House to chant USA, USA, and sing the national anthem. What exactly were we cheering? Nationally syndicated Chicago Tribune columnist Clarence Page says he's not celebrating death, he's celebrating justice. Do you think it's appropriate to celebrate the death of Osama bin Laden or any person, even an archenemy? 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. You can find a link to Clarence Page's column there. And Clarence Page joins us here in Studio 3A. Yesterday, he wrote the syndicated column, Welcome to Paybackistan. Of course, that's a takeoff on The Daily Show's quip about it.
Give proper credit where it's due. That's right, Neil.
And you say celebrating justice, not death. A distinction, but is that a distinction without a real difference?
I think it's an important distinction to make. I'm disturbed by the idea of celebrating a death. It just smacks a little too much of the lynch mob there, you know. I think it's unseemly sounding, but we all appreciate justice. We haven't had justice since 9/11. There was always, no matter whether Osama bin Laden was still an important operational figure or not, he obviously had a lot of psychic weight on us that I certainly felt every time I went through an airport checkpoint and all, and you know, any place where it was an enhanced security going on. I think there was a great weight lifted off of people, so I don't begrudge them their sentiments out there in celebrating some semblance of justice here. One of my readers sent me an old Clarence Darrow quote, often wrongly attributed to Mark Twain, where he said, I have never wished a man dead, but I have read many an obituary with great satisfaction. I think this was an obituary many of us read with great satisfaction.
Your piece said you were watching the celebrations outside the White House on TV with amusement, you noted, until your son challenged you.
Yeah, my son came along to kill the buzz, saying, are they celebrating a death? You know, kids have a way. He's 22 now, and he's a philosophy major, philosophy in English, so I attribute a lot of this to that. But he was not alone. I didn't have space to mention it in my column, but my wife and a house guest agreed with him. They were quite shocked and dismayed that this was going on. And I might add, on all things considered, yesterday or day before, there was a nice piece interviewing college students, others who were disturbed by this display. However, I stand my ground and feel that there are certain times when one has to observe a sense of justice that has been meted out. There are some who would say that Osama bin Laden didn't suffer enough, considering all the suffering that he caused others. So there's a great everybody's got a different view of justice, but I think we must have some sense of it in order for us to carry on and have some optimism about the future.
Yet there is an aspect of American triumphalism that can sometimes get in the way. I remember early in the invasion of Iraq when U.S. forces cleared out an Iraqi port city, Fao, and raised the American flag. This is something the Americans have done because of the iconic scene at Iwo Jima in 1945.
That's right.
And so this is something that means a great deal to us. It also meant a great deal to the Iraqis who said, wait a minute, why are you raising the American flag? This is Iraq.
That's right. And one key difference, I would say, between that display and Osama bin Laden is Osama bin Laden attacked us on our soil and killed thousands of people, mostly civilians. This is something that anywhere on the planet, people recognize a certain sovereignty and safety, security that one should be allowed in one's own country. So it's certainly, to my mind, more justifiably offensive to people to raise a flag in their land when you aren't really claiming some kind of ownership to it. It does send a sense of excessive triumphalism.
And there were scenes outside the White House in particular. Cheerleaders?
Yes, yes. Well, you know, this is what was interesting to me because there is a sense of victory going on here. how much does one celebrate a victory? There was, so many of us had given up on ever finding bin Laden. I think that this is disturbing to a lot of people whenever we have to give up on something. There's a sense of pessimism about the outlook for Iraq, for Afghanistan, for any place that we tried to do some good, Libya for that matter, Egypt, across the Middle East. We needed to feel good about something. You know, this really reminded me of the night Barack Obama was elected, where you saw this great surprising outpouring of people on the streets. Even Republican friends of mine were cheered by the notion that an African American can be president now, when so many of us didn't think that was possible yet. I think there is an important kind of symbolism that goes on here. So those students, some of whom were students of my wife, who teaches at George Washington University, very close to the White House, I can understand their sense of victory, because this is their generation. This was their formative moment. My son was 12 when 9/11 happened. We walked over to the Pentagon while it was still smoke smoldering, and so he's 22 now. And while he's disturbed by the way the celebration emerged on the streets, he too feels a certain sense of closure, if I may use that overused word.
Let's see if we get some callers in on the conversation. 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. We'll start with Anne. Anne with us from Binghamton, New York.
Hi, my name is Anne Marina. I love your show.
Thank you.
I am finding it to be like a difficult balancing act. I certainly have reverence for all human life and have that idea of, like, let's not celebrate a death. But also, there's so many people in my area from New York City, and I think they're rightfully experiencing that elation and that closure, and they certainly don't want to remind them, to have reverence for the dead, because they've experienced that reverence firsthand for, 3,000 fold on the day it happens.
It would be, in the old days, particularly in Britain, if there was a military victory, you would think of Trafalgar or something like that. The church bells would ring out for victory in a battle that was perceived as saving the nation. And in that sense, cheering a victory, yes, that's no problem. A victory somehow is different than an action directed against one person.
Right. We have a situation here of asymmetrical warfare, as they say. It's not like VE Day or VJ Day, where you had victory over Europe or Japan. We don't know for sure yet what the full implications of Osama bin Laden's death are going to be. But I think there was a strong sense in a lot of people's minds that this is a benchmark. This is, Secretary Rumsfeld called it metric that we don't normally have in Iraq or Afghanistan, these new wars we've gotten ourselves into. So I think in that sense, it made sense for people on many levels to feel a sense of victory and for a lot of people to want to celebrate it.
Anne, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Let's go next to, this is Dave. Dave with us from Chillicothe in Ohio.
Yes, sir. How are you, Neil?
I'm good, thanks.
I just wanted to say that, as with anything, there is a correct way to do something and an incorrect way to do something. I think that if people are correct and not bullish about it, it is totally okay to celebrate victory in the death of Osama bin Laden.
And in what way do you say that?
Well, I think that the objective since September 11th has been to take down the enemy defined as al-Qaeda and the Taliban, and it's pretty accurate to say that he was the leader, if not one of the most important leaders of those organizations.
Hmm. All right, Dave, thanks very much for the call.
I'm very happy to hear from Chillicothe, Ohio, not far from where I grew up in southern Ohio, and I think that's the kind of down-home view that I think makes a lot of sense to a lot of Americans.
You called it Old Testament.
Yeah, the Old Testament view. I was raised in that kind of tradition, where you have the Old Testament of an eye for an eye, or the New Testament of turn the other cheek. There is, as the caller said, a time for each, if I may paraphrase Ecclesiastes, this is one of those situations where I personally feel, as I wrote, it makes me go Old Testament, that I feel like now's the time for an eye for an eye as far as bin Laden is concerned.
I wonder, and Dave, thanks very much. I wonder, though, presidential symbolism. After 9/11, you had George Bush in a windbreaker grabbing that megaphone and standing on the pile of rubble at Ground Zero with the firefighters and rallying the nation after a terrible defeat, after a horrible crime and humiliation for the United States. Mm-hmm. Today, you had President Obama, after a victory, very somberly, quietly, respectfully, laying a wreath at the same scene.
That's right, and I think President Obama certainly has learned from President Bush's experience that premature triumphalism is the worst kind of all. When you go out and even are perceived as declaring victory, perceived as saying mission accomplished, then you'd better be sure your mission is really accomplished. They, being Washington, Congress, the White House, ginned up a lot of actions, the Patriot Act, the invasion of Afghanistan, the invasion of Iraq, off of the emotions and the need to get back at the people who caused 9/11. If you're going to do that, then you better make sure you've got all the people that caused 9/11. We still don't know exactly where we stand with the Taliban or Al Qaeda. We know we've made a lot of advances, but it's still too early to talk about a complete victory.
We're talking with nationally syndicated columnist Clarence Page, whose columns originate, I guess, in the Chicago Tribune and appear instantaneously in a lot of other places. He's
That's
with
right.
us here in Studio 3A to talk about a piece he wrote, Welcome to Paybackistan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go next to Suad. Suad with us from Orlando.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. I am an Arab and a Muslim and American, and my issue with this is when I have no problem with the people who were directly affected by what happened in 9/11, you know, riveting and, you know, thinking or feeling that they have closure, that's fine. But when you see people in stadiums cheering USA, it really, USA, USA, it really doesn't sound very healthy. It looks silly. It almost feels like somebody, you know, like a Tarzan in the forest. And we don't want to give to the world this image of America that, you know, like a bloodthirsty nation that we really don't care, that we just want payback. It is not healthy.
I think she's referring to the scene at the ballpark in Philadelphia, the
right.
Mets and Phillies game, when the news was announced there, and that's what that erupted there. And mm-hmm. that sort of public celebration. I wondered, in that same line, and thank you, Suat, I wanted to read from a piece that John McWhorter wrote in On the Route mm-hmm. Called Stop Celebration, Public Celebrations of Osama's Death. We, too, feel a sense of closure. We can't help it. But the America we should want to be should temper and deflect any sense of joy in bin Laden's having been put to death, specifically by refraining from public celebrations, real or virtual, of what was, after all, the killing of a human being. Are we, as Americans, people who publicly present ourselves as delighting in a death? Are we not, if so, much more akin than we have suspected to those who were cheering the streets after 9/11?
Yeah, you know, I was looking to see, I think it was the same essay where John said, he sort of gave an excuse to those who were directly affected by 9/11, mm-hmm. like the woman who just called. And I respect that. I would say, though, that we were all affected by 9/11. I was affected by it. I had at least one of my Tribune Company colleagues died up there in the Twin Towers. Another personal friend died in the plane crash into the Pentagon. Even if I didn't know anybody personally in there, it certainly changed the mood of our country. It affected all of us in many ways. It ended the Pax Americana that we Americans had enjoyed through the 90s. Maybe we were, obviously, what the irrational exuberance of the 90s was excessive, no question about it. But 9/11 also has had a profound impact on all of us. So my question would be, where do you draw the line? Who should be allowed to celebrate and who not? I just say I don't begrudge anybody who feels like they honestly want to celebrate this moment.
Here's an email from Dustin in Washington. At the announcement of Osama bin Laden's death, the celebrations that erupted across the country were dominated by tens of thousands of college students. This foreshadows the greatness of a generation. The memory of 9/11 is especially personal and painful for my generation, those who were in elementary and junior high school at the time. This is not the result of choice, but chance, a peculiar function of our age when we collided with history. For my generation, 9/11 is not a tragic point of common reference. It's the shared crucible that defined us and made so many of us into the adults that we have become. an interesting point. Let's
very much so.
To Eric. Eric with us from Salem Township in Michigan.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure.
I think a lot of these celebrations, you know, I'm all for justice being served and whatnot, but, you know, they're barbaric and savage. And I don't know if you're familiar with Doctor Who, but, you know, he defeats a lot of enemies that pose a threat to the world. And even after he kills them and defeats them, he says, "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry." And it's that kind of post-mortem mercy, I think, is something that's lacking in today's society.
Well, maybe the Doctor Who doctrine. All right.
Well, you know, there's something to that, that we must temper justice with mercy and temper it with some sense of prudence.
Lincoln's
so we don't
phrase
drift off.
Stated after the Civil War.
That's quite right. And, you know, I had one reader who pointed out that even the Old Testament says not an eye for an eye. At the Passover Seder that he celebrates, they set aside some wine in remembrance of the sacrifices of the Egyptians. And so you don't celebrate too much. That's the message there.
This from Stephanie in Sacramento. At 9/11, I saw on the news thousands of Pakistanis, Afghans, etc., dancing, singing, celebrating the destruction of the Twin Towers. Monday, I heard those same people say it was shameful that we were celebrating the death of enemy number one. Yes, I celebrate the death of bin Laden. I feel that we as a nation have the right to celebrate the death of this man. And when your son challenged you, said, "Who else? Whose other else death do we celebrate?"
I brought up Hitler, that good old standby, you know, the personification of evil. Bin Laden's not the same as Hitler, but you can certainly see, you know, with the kind of celebration that was justifiably came out at the time of his death, or news of his death, that you can understand the kind of catharsis people felt they needed at this time.
Nationally syndicated columnist Clarence Page of the Chicago Tribune. There's a link to his latest column at npr.org. He joined us here in Studio 3A. As always, thanks very much for your time.
Always a pleasure, Neil.
Tomorrow, Talk of the Nation Science Friday. Ira Flatow will be here with a look at electronics and privacy. How much of our personal info do our gadgets collect? This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.